Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. A Nemours neurologist receives a prestigious grant from the National Institutes of Health. The funding will be used to study brain patterns that could lead to shared therapies for autism, epilepsy, and Alzheimer's disease patients. The project will analyze patterns of dysfunction in the region of the brain that regulates memory and emotions, following research based on the theory that autism, epilepsy, and Alzheimer's may share the same faulty mechanism or disruption in the brain's neural networks. On this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Joey Irizarry sits down with Nemours Children's Health Chief of Neurology, Dr. Rodney Scott, to discuss how his work can help patients.
Dr. Scott, you have received funding from the National Institutes of Health. How much did you get and how will it be used?
So we received $2.6 million to be used over 5 years. And the goal of the project that was funded is to try and find similar convergent abnormalities in brain networks that exist across a whole range of neurological disorders in a way that will allow us to intervene with brain stimulation strategies to try and improve learning and memory outcomes. Some of the money will be used for lab-based research, so a lot of that will be using animal models. But some of it is to build a computer version of a piece of the brain called the hippocampus, which will allow us to explore this particular idea much more broadly than we can in a lab environment. So overall, we want to be able to relate what's happening in the computer to what's happening in a brain, and by using an iterative process between those things, our goal is to improve learning and memory outcomes across the 1.6 million, no, the 6 million or so people in the United States with learning problems.
Now, the focus will be on autism, epilepsy, and Alzheimer's disease. Am I correct there?
That's correct, yeah.
How does that match up here with the project here with the research?
So the idea for all of those diseases is that there is an underlying cause, and the way to improve outcomes from those diseases is to treat the cause. This higher risk, higher reward program, which comes from the Office of the Director of the National Institutes of Health, is looking for paradigm changing ideas. So our big paradigm changing idea is that it's not fundamentally the cause. It's not the gene that caused autism or the brain injury that caused epilepsy or the amyloid deposition that causes Alzheimer's disease that's fundamentally the problem. The fundamental problem is the neural network. And that's the neural network that underpins learning and memory. And what we are showing is that if you stimulate the brain, you can recover the neural network without having to do anything at all to the underlying cause. That's the big novel idea here, which would lead to a complete change in the way that physicians ultimately go about treating these disorders.
You already mentioned that this is a high-risk, high-reward research, and the funding specifically was going towards that type of project. What makes it high-risk, high-reward?
It's high-risk because it might not work. It's an idea, it's a hypothesis that we're going to be testing. The high reward is that there are a lot of people that have learning and memory impairments across a lot of diseases, which despite years of investment into projects that are trying to treat the underlying causes, we haven't made an enormous amount of progress. So if this works, then the high reward is a completely different way of treating people, which hopefully will be more successful and more able to recover learning and memory problems than the current approaches.
We mentioned there's a connection between autism, epilepsy, and Alzheimer's disease already, but has there been research already that shows that there's already a connection here that where this project comes in and it'll help treating them and maybe even defeating them, beating them?
So independently of each other, that's true. So one of the observations that we made prior to applying for this award is that when we look at how these neural networks are behaving across all of those models, we were struck by how similar the abnormalities were, despite there being very different diseases when they looked at individually. So there's a reasonable amount of work looking individually at neural networks and all of those things. the important step that we're taking is that overarching view that all of those diseases converge onto something similar and something that's targetable.
Going into this, when you come up with this project, is the goal you want attainable? I mean, is it something that you feel that you can, and this is in your professional opinion here, do you feel that it is attainable to reach the goal you're shooting for?
So I think it is attainable. The use of brain stimulation approaches is reasonably widespread now. So it's definitely used a lot in epilepsy. It's used in Parkinson's disease. So there are the idea that we can implant electrodes into a human brain and stimulate that brain to improve outcomes is already in clinical practice. That exists as an idea. So given that that platform exists, if we're able to show that there are particular types of stimulation in particular parts of the brain that have potentially could be improved to improve outcomes for a lot of people, it's not a big step to change where you put the wire and how you stimulate the brain in order to achieve those outcomes. So I think this is eminently feasible, and should the initial projects work, I think there's a very high chance that this would be translated into human populations reasonably quickly.
And is this something that, I know the funding, it's a 5-year timeline. Is that something that it's attainable within that 5 years, or is this just maybe like a start to get you to a point where it can be defeated maybe within 10, 15 years? I mean, what are we looking at maybe? Again, another goal here for a timeline.
So the five years will take us to the point that we will know whether it's worth trying it out in humans or not. So that's the high risk piece. By the end of 5 years, we'll know one way or the other whether it's worth proceeding. I think if we get to the end of 5 years and it's working well and the idea is a solid one, my expectation is a string of subsequent studies in humans would take another 5 to 10 years before it became widely available, FDA approved, appropriate therapy.
As for going back to a timeline, you've secured the funding. What's next for you in this particular project?
So what's next is for us to do it. So we already are in the process of setting up all of the pipelines that we need for recording the neural networks, analyzing the neural networks, working out how to do the brain stimulation. We already have some work doing that type of thing, but we now need to do it specifically for this project. So we're in the process of doing that and in the process of making sure that the computer model is working well. I anticipate that that's going to take 3 months, 3 to 6 months, and then we'll be ready to actually do the formal experiments, which take a long time. These are not short experiments. They take many months to perform, many months to analyze. So we're then in that process.
What would it mean to society if you are successful here in this project?
I think the obvious big hit is the Alzheimer's one. So there is a growing population of elderly people with Alzheimer's, an enormous economic cost to countries to be able to manage Alzheimer's disease and manage people that are dementing. So if it becomes possible to slow that down, to reverse that process, to change those trajectories, then the implications are huge. The ability to improve outcomes from Alzheimer's would be enormous. I'm a pediatric neurologist, so I have interest in autism, and it comes in flavors. There are many people with autism who are perfectly successful, who don't need this sort of intervention. But then there are people with very severe autism, severe learning problems, inability to integrate into society successfully. Again, major economic and health implications there. So if we can recover those sorts of impairments, then we have a big chance of maximizing quality of life for a reasonable chunk of society.
How important is that, where you could reach youngsters, to the elderly here. I mean, that's a big range. And sometimes when you hear about stuff, it's just, oh, maybe it's just for this particular age group or that particular age group. This is going to affect the people of all ages.
So I hope that was part of the reason that the reviewers who looked at this application were enthusiastic about it. So these things get peer reviewed. We put in an application. It gets reviewed by a body of my peers. It then gets reviewed by the NIH. They have to be persuaded that there is a big idea inside here in order to get this particular type of funding. So I think we persuaded many people that this has potential to be successful. It's now our job to actually do the experiments and see whether it is successful.
And if you are successful, what would it mean for you both personally and professionally?
So personally, if there's a feather in my cap, I think I would be excited to be one of the team that achieved the thing that we were achieving. In terms of what it does for me personally, I think that's a personal thing. I'm excited by the science. I'm excited by doing the thing. I don't feel like I need any glory out the other end of that. If people get better and outcomes are improved, that will be enough for me.
Thanks to Nemours Children's Health Chief of Neurology, Dr. Rodney Scott, and our Joe Irizarry for enlightening us this week.